Now let us pray for Shannon to come forward for her service. We pray, our Lord Jesus, that your Spirit may abide upon Shannon and upon each one of us. As we hear your words and remember them and live them in our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I realized I forgot the clicker again. Thank you, Ted. I'll just bring this one. Oh, it's up here. Hey, I didn't bring it, so I must not be here. That's my thinking. I need to realize I got people on the ball here, even when I'm not. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you again, Ted, for sharing. We realize it's so odd to have Remembrance Day so far away from Sunday, but so close. In a sense, like next week, it'll be over, if I can put it that way. So we're taking that time to remember this week and that. So, yeah, I just want to give you a heads up. I'm going to take some holidays starting this next coming Friday. I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks, but it's going to be 3 Sundays. So we're going to be blessed because Crystal's going to come and take the message those 3 Sundays and really good message she has prepared for you guys. The Lord's been put that on her heart for, it's been a couple of years that you've been sitting in that, yeah. But, so this morning, I've got a different title here. Can you read that? I can't from here. Grapes and Ranks. Again, when you get it on your computer, it looks way different than you do when you get it up here. It's a weird title, isn't it? What? We're going to start. I'm going to share with you this morning our 2 foundational scriptures for where we're working on. The first is from Numbers 13:23. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, did I pronounce that right? Eshcol. They cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Think about that. 2 of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. That ain't no small cluster. And we're talking, who are the 2 men carrying it? It's Caleb and Joshua. They're young men. They're young, strong men. It takes 2 of them to carry this sucker back. I was like, man. And that is some good grapes. The next we're going to look at is John 20:21. It says, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I'm sending you." Now, right now, that day is so disconnected, and I'm not sure what she's talking about, but you'll get there. We'll get there. Will you hang in with me as we go? Okay. Well, let's set the scene here for our first scripture. The children of Israel have just come out of Egypt. Moses has led them out of Egypt. The Lord God has brought them out of Egypt, and they're coming to the promised land. This is the land that the Lord's promised them, and there it is before them. God's them that led them out of the only world that they have known, because they've been in captivity for 400 years. So these people coming out, that was the only thing they knew. The only thing they knew was slavery. And here's the Lord. He's brought them out of slavery into freedom. How many songs of freedom did we sing this morning? Hey, Lord has brought us into freedom. He's brought them out of poverty and lack and into the promise of provision and prosperity. In fact, before they even leave, the Lord caused the Egyptians' hearts to turn towards them, and they gave them the booty. They gave them silver and gold and all this. They walked out of Egypt rich. They saw the hand of the Lord work against their enemy, because and took them out of the tyranny of that, the hate that was towards them. Remember, the Pharaohs had the baby boys killed. So you can imagine Moses. There's nobody his age because they've all been thrown into the river at birth, but he was saved. Nobody his age. That's crazy. Because of the hate in the heart. Then the Pharaohs also commanded them to make bricks without straw. They had to go out and glean the straw in the evenings, work all day making bricks. I mean, they were in a bad place. And here they are coming out of it. And their enemies, they saw the Lord work against their enemies with the 10 plagues, right? So they come out of Egypt, and they cross the sea on Red Sea on dry ground. And then they saw the Lord destroy their enemies as the water closed up over them. And they were on those banks celebrating, praising God, singing songs, dancing, and talking about his goodness. And then Moses leads them over to the desert of Paran, where he has 12 of the leaders, one from each tribe, come together, and he gives them these instructions. And I'm not going to put them all up there. You can read them yourself, but I'll read it to you, okay? Then Moses sent them to explore Canaan. And he says, go up through the through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people live there are strong or weak, few or many. And then in verse 20, it says, do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And then the verse we read from the beginning there says, and when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off the branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. The two of them carried it on a pole between them with some pomegranates and figs. Verse 24, that place is called the valley of Eshcol because it means cluster of grapes. The Israelites had cut off there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. So they went in there for 40 days. So when you imagine these Israelites gather as the 12 spies are coming back, and they look at what's coming, and they see the first fruits of the promised land. They're seeing it come on this giant, or this pole between these men, this giant cluster of grapes. And they're looking at it, and this is the first evidence of the promised land that God has been revealing to them. It's real. He's faithful to his words. He's faithful to his promises. And they're seeing it with their own eyes. And of course, they're dancing around and they're celebrating. Yeah, look at what God's done. How good. How faithful. Look at him. And wait, you're going, what? You're saying, Shannon, that's not right. That's not what happened. They brought back the grapes and they could see the promise with their own eyes. But that's not what they did. They didn't dance. They didn't celebrate. What did they do? They listened to the report of the 10. Right before them is proof and evidence of the goodness of God. They have walked through all that they've walked through, the goodness of God, the promise of God, and yet it took 10 men to say, ooh, whoa, there are giants in the land, and we look like grasshoppers. They're staring at the promises and yet listening to the reports. What's going on there? What is it that they took into their heart? It was the fear that was already there. And what they heard was the reports that confirmed their fear, rather than seeing the Lord's promise and believing. You see, their fear was already there. And they weren't letting the words of the Lord, the promises of God and his goodness that had been before them, enter in and kick out the fear that was there. Their hearts would not believe the goodness of God. They stopped looking at the promise and the one who made the promise. And they stepped back from what God had prepared for them. And that's a critical key for all of us. Are we stepping back from the promises God has already prepared for us. Well, we know that rather than entering into what God had for them, they wandered in the desert. God was still with them, but their lack of faith meant that they would not work with him, cooperate with him. They were still afraid God's going to do something and pull the rug out from under us. So that's what went down. Again, by listening to reports that supported what they believed in their hearts, God's really not for us. What do I have to do to get God to please God, to get him to bless me, to get the promises happening in my life? That's our way of, what do I have to do? And I'll tell you what, when we start speaking that way, that's a confession of unbelief. Because he's already done. And that's where we find ourselves at times. Especially when things are tough. Especially when we've been waiting a long time to see a promise. We forget the promises sometimes. We forget the grapes that are right in front of us. The things that he did yesterday that were so good. In light of the giants we face today. Through Jesus, we've already entered into our promised land. If you're a believer, you're already there. We've been brought into that promised land through the shed blood of Jesus. In Colossians verses 12 and then to 19, it says, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. That's verse 18, I think, or 12, pardon me. And then verse 19 goes on to say, for God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, that's Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross for us. And by the way, that says 19, it should also say 20. I apologize for that. It should go to 20. You see, here's the amazing thing. Jesus is the one who's qualified you. And it's through his cross, through his shed blood, it's not anything you've done except for this mere thing, accepting and believing and receiving what his finished work has given us, accomplished for us. It's all about Jesus. Aren't you glad? Because if it were all about me or all about you, we'd already be lost and gone. I'm just a screw up until I met Jesus. And his finished work, oh my goodness. So when we are discouraged and disappointed and not seeing the manifestation of God's promises in our lives, let's not be those that are standing, staring at the fruits of promise. How many of you have had God do something amazing for you in your life? How quickly we forget. Man, yesterday, today is like, How quickly we forget. God is a faithful God to all his promises. And discouragement and disappointment in not seeing the manifestation of God's promises in our lives, again, it's because we're not staring at the fruit and the one who brings the fruit. We're looking at the reports about giants. I want you to think of God, the size of God versus the size of a giant. My God is big. As far as giants goes, my God's the biggest giant. My God's bigger yet, but we forget. And here's the thing, is God is for us. God is for us. I mean, he's so for us, and I mean, we know this as believers, but you know, the world sees it as foolishness. Is he was willing to send his son, Jesus, to die for us. Have you ever met somebody and you share, I'm a little excited, share about how good Jesus, that Jesus loved them so much he was willing to die for them, and they say something like this, I didn't ask him to die for me. See, for the world, it's foolishness. It doesn't make sense to them. To those who are perishing, it's foolishness. But to us who believe, it's like, because he took all my sin, all my shame, all my past. He took it. And I can't help but fall on my knees. I can't help but let my heart gratefully thank him again and again. Because of his goodness, his love, and his mercy. Ah, yes. The Israelites saw, but they still didn't believe. Listen to this. The Israelites saw the promises, but they still didn't believe. You know, sometimes we think that if we just saw God do this, we would believe. I believe it when I see it. Who does that sound like? Biblical. Thomas, yes. Hey, Thomas's friends come to him. Say, Thomas, Thomas. Because remember, Jesus showed himself to the disciples up in the locked room, but Thomas wasn't there. And they come and they say, Thomas, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. And Thomas says, unless I touch that hole in his hands and the hole in his side, I ain't believing you. They come with the testimony of Jesus. Now think about this. Thomas has hung out with these people for the past 3 years as one of the disciples with Jesus. He knows them. Why would they lie to him about Jesus? But uh-uh. All of a sudden, I can't trust you guys and what you're saying. But you know what Jesus does? He meets with Thomas and says, hey, here, Thomas, here's my hand, here's my side, go ahead. I mean, I'm sure Thomas went, At least. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord. You know, he doesn't just leave us to sit in our stupidity. I'm just going to call it that. But he's willing to work with, he knows our frailty. Let's put it that way. You know, one of the things about the Israelites is not all the stories are about them not being faithful and them not believing. In fact, we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles 20. And it, again, you're going to have to look it up yourself. I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to turn in your own books, not just trust me. The Spirit of the Lord came upon, and now I'm going to pronounce this, Jerezel. I'm looking for Crystal because she knows how to. Jerezel, okay. Son of Zechariah, that one I know. And he stood in the assembly and he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat. Okay, let me just stop there. And all of you who live in Jerusalem, exclamation mark, I'm going to stop there. So let me give you a little heads up of what's happening. Here's Judea, and Jerusalem in the center, and they've got three armies coming against them. Three big armies for this little country, okay? And as you listen to these words, let's keep in mind what the Lord will do for Israel today. Okay. This is what he says. He says, this is what the Lord said to you. Don't be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will climb up in the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You do not have to fight this battle, but this is what you have to do. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord, deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. This is a promise of God to them, but you know how New Testament, we know every promise of God is yes and amen to those. God is fighting your battles. You got giants? God is fighting your battles. But here's what it says, take up your position. Take up your position. What does that mean for us today? Take up your position. It means you get a hold of the word of God, the promises of God, and you put your feet down. And you stand in your position that says, that's a lie of the enemy, and I'm not receiving it. This is the blessing of God. He's fighting this battle, and you're going down. You need to fight that for health. Jesus said, by my stripes I'm healed. That's what my Lord said. That's the word of the Lord. This is going down. You're fighting with depression or discouragement. This is what the Lord says. I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace, the King of peace living in my heart. You're going down. And the battle belongs to the Lord. And we stand our positions. Stand firm. Take your position. Stand firm. Doesn't matter how many days you have to get up and stand firm in that promise of God you pray. There's the grapes, guys, right before you. Then let's see it in our hearts and minds, the promises of God. See, hearing and continue on as they heard the word of the Lord. This is what the people did when they heard the word of the Lord come from the prophet. This is what they did. They bowed down and they worshiped God and they stood up and praised God in a loud voice. They believed. If you don't, you know what? I'm going to be honest. You can stand up here and we're going to have our wonderful, what we call it, worship, praise and worship time, or we want to just acknowledge God, and you can sing the words and not believe it. But when you enter into the agreement with what we're singing, when you enter in and say, yes, our God is good. Yes, amazing grace. Yes, my chains are broken. And I'm sorry, I don't remember all the songs, but they were good. Because they sang of the goodness of God. And remind our hearts, and we encourage, we sing, God, you're so good. And that's what these people are doing. They hear the word of the Lord and they're, yes. And they're not like the children of Israel that went, wait, whoa, there's giants. Yes, this is what the word of the Lord said. We're going out, this little army of ours, to go against the three armies joining against us. But we're going out. And the Lord said, we don't even have to fight this battle. We're going to go out and take our stand and see the Lord give us deliverance. Well, we move on to verse 20, and it says, early in the morning, they left from the desert for the desert of Tekoa. And they set out, and Jehoshaphat, who's the king, stood and said, listen to me, Judah, and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, thanks be to God, for his love endures forever. What a crazy thing to do. What are you talking about, people? You don't put your worship band out in front. You put your mightiest warrior, strong, who's going to defeat them. No, we're going to praise the Lord, and we're going to sing about his love forever and his goodness. We're going to put them out front. We're going to let them encourage our hearts, and we're going out with the band in front. And this is verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir and destroyed and annihilated them. And after they'd finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks, so he's there singing and marching, coming up, and they looked over towards the vast army, and they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. and they hadn't lifted a sword. God is going to defeat your enemies, and God says this: our enemies are not flesh and blood, but every power and principality that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we've got the word of the Lord that can tear down every one of those strongholds. We've got the grapes before us. We've got the promises of God. And if we focus on him, and he says, listen, I'm going to deliver you. I've already done it through Jesus. And if we take our stand and hold on to that, oh man, are we going to see things coming. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. We know this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. And it says, verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. Having faith in what they didn't see yet. 2 Corinthians 2. Let's see, I think I've got all these listed here. I forgot to read the Ephesian one. I'll go back and do that. 2 Corinthians 2:14, this is the first part. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in triumphal procession. In Christ, I'm sorry, in triumphal procession. We always triumph in Christ. I'm going to go back and read Ephesians 3:18. It says, and that's the scripture that talks about the love that God has for us, this love that endures forever. Paul says, I want you to know how high, how deep, how wide, and the breadth of this love. You know, when we really, I'm going to challenge you this week. First of all, how many did your homework a couple of weeks back to read Psalm 103? Oh, hey, those of you who didn't get your homework done, read it, because it's full. It's so full of good things for us. But here's your homework this week. Sit in and ask Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to show you how deep, how high, how wide, and how breadth width his love is for you. Just sit and let it. And anytime a thought and something comes that says, oh, you're not, no. It says he lavishes his love on us. He loves you. And I think I shared it last week. He desires you. He desires you. He desires you. His love for you is amazing. And when we get a hold of that, recognize how loved we are, oh my goodness, then we also start seeing what promise would he not give us. Moving on to John. 1 John, this is from the Amplified Bible. It says, for everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. Our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus Christ, Son of God. We have been guaranteed the victory. Everyone born of God is victorious. Everyone born of God overcomes the world through Jesus, through our faith in Jesus. Are you victorious this morning? Yes. Are you an overcomer? Yes. Amen. That's good. That's good. That's keeping our focus on the grapes and the promises for us. Now, I'm going to tie in that second thing, rank. I'm going to tell you a little story. This is my dad. Isn't he cute? Doesn't he look like my brother Steve? Or doesn't my brother Steve look like him? I guess you're right. This is my dad. He's a young guy. I think he joined the army a little too young. I think he lied about his age. Yes. Now, you've got Canadian soldiers behind in the background there, because I'm a Canadian, born and bred. And I'm thankful for the Canadian Army. But I'm also thankful for the American Army, because my dad was an American. And that output you see there, he came up with the Engineering Corps to Dawson Creek, BC, and he was a part of the people who started to build the Alaska Highway. And it was while he was there that he met my mama, and they fell in love, and in 3 months got married, because he was being shipped out. And that is a crazy story. One day I'm going to sit down with my nieces, who are amazing writers, and get that story down. So she was a war bride, so to speak. So my dad was eventually went from private to private second class. And my dad was a bit of a character. People loved him. He was a great guy, lots of fun. But he one night ended up on MP duty, military police duty, and had been given an order by a sergeant to watch a prisoner. And so that's what he was doing, but he was also really kind of disappointed because there was a dance going on, and he wanted to go to the dance. So what he did was he took his prisoner to the dance. So he's still watching his prisoner, and he got to go to the dance too. Well, needless to say, he wasn't following orders, and he got busted back down to private. But I tell that story to understand the fact that he was a private. And as a private, when we understand ranks, the private is the lowest on the totem pole. He gets orders from everybody and gives orders to nobody. And when we think about that, he has to submit, and he has no, like I said, no authority. But who has the authority? Who's the highest one? Besides Jesus, but the general, right, in the army. The general is the highest. And when a general gives an order, everybody follows and jumps, yeah. The general is the end of it. And again, no one, he submits to no one. Let me put it that way. He submits to no one. So, is there ever a time then that the private has the same authority as the general? Ah, I gotcha. Yes, there is. And that is when the private is carrying out an assignment, a directive, an errand, and a mission given to him by the general. Then they carry what? The general's authority. They come in the name of the general. And every direction that is given him, other soldiers, doesn't matter, from the private all the way up to the colonel, must yield to the private in the general's assignment and in the general's authority and name. So before that private, every gate and every door is unlocked and opened. Every authority has to give way and obey what the private is coming with, because he's coming with the authority of the general. Now, you already know where this is going. Who's our general? Jesus. And we come as privates. But we have been given the authority of the general. We are carrying out his assignments and his missions. In Matthew, let me see if I can get this to come up. Matthew 28, 16 to 20 says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But listen to this, but some doubted." What? "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age.'" What kind of authority do you have here on earth? Jesus. That's right. And I know this is just coming at this that we've heard many times, that we have been given authority. But sometimes we live as a private thinking, there was no general given me authority. I'm just going to sit back here. I'm just going to follow the Lord. I'm not... You've got authority of the general to move against the enemies, to move the powers and principalities, to open gates and doors before you when you're doing the work of God, when you're doing the work of our Lord Jesus. And again, sadly, many of us believers haven't got a hold of this for ourselves. Yes, we're part of God's army, so to speak. But again, we live with no authority, thinking we have none. We follow our own thinking. Like my dad, he did his own thing. He was out of order. got busted down. He lost some of the, you know, authority that he had because he wasn't following what the Lord or what the sergeant had told him to do. And sometimes that's what we do. What did he tell us to do? To take your position and stand. Believe in me. Also, right? Receive the Holy Spirit. Go forth and make disciples. Think of this. Every rank in the universe must yield to you. Every door, every gate must open and unlock. Every power and principality is under your feet. And anything that reports and that comes against you, any giant, any army that rises up against you, you can stand in the name of your Lord and General, Jesus, with his authority and proclaim it gone because it's a finished work in Jesus, right? They're under his feet. You're seated with Jesus. And all of those powers and principalities are under your feet. Ted, you're just biting at the bit. Ted, can you turn on the handheld mic? Ted has something. I just see him jumping in his seat.
I just want to share with you what I think was God's direction and God's sense of humor in delivering his message when he wants to do it. When I went to 3408, the Ordnance Ammunition Depot in St. Therese, Quebec, to be its chaplain, I was walking in from the gate, and I'm wearing my uniform, and I was trained in the Armored Corps, and I hear this guy say, "Oh, it looks like we have a real soldier coming on base for a change." And I'm thinking in my head, little do they know this is a chaplain coming on. But here's the even more interesting part. That night they were to have a base dance, and everybody was to be there at the dance. And they had a limbo, and the chaplain won the limbo contest. I tell you, I had access to every place on the base after that. It was, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get to know these people or introduce myself to these people? God has a phenomenal sense of humor and a phenomenal way of doing things.
I hope they are, yeah.
To really reach out to people.
Amen.
So
amen.
We just have to stand, as you said.
Yeah, amen. Oh, man. Let's move on. John 20:21-22. Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As my Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Again, this is the first verse that we started with, one of the first verses. As I've been sent, as I've been given authority, now I'm giving my authority to you. Go. And he says, not only that, but he's breathing on us, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we know that they went and waited in Jerusalem for that because he sends us out in power. He sends it out, not in our own strength, but in his. And again, as we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, we know the authority that we've been given. I'm going to move to this last. And Jesus said this. This is from Luke 10:19. It says, "Behold, I've been given authority to, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." And that's from Luke 10:19. Isn't that wonderful? That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of Jesus himself to us. And as we keep trusting God and live inside his will, follow and let him fulfill his directives, his missions to us, we'll live in the authority. And we will see the doors open. And we will see the gates unlocked before us. And we will see that every battle is won before we even crest the hill. So let's make it our goal to yield fully to Jesus, to his will, to live holy, sold out for God. And you know what? You're going to walk. You're going to walk in the power and the authority of the Almighty. You're going to see the grapes and know the rank of the general. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up, and I will pray for you and then release you into the world to take the good news of Jesus. Amen. Oh, Father, we come before you. We rejoice in your goodness and your greatness. Jesus, we celebrate. We celebrate just the mention of your name gets us excited and our hearts are just overjoyed. We want to worship you. And Lord, where doubt comes in, man, we're going to stand against that giant and say, no, we believe the word of the Lord. We're going to stand our ground, take our position and stand our ground. And we will remember the promises of God and that which you have done for us already. And we're going to know that there is more. We are in our promised land. We've received our inheritance in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And so as we go from this place, Lord, we're going forth taking the good news out to the world. And I pray that every soul here this morning gets that opportunity to share that good news. And we ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus, and by the power of your Spirit. And all God's saints said, amen, amen. Amen.